everybody. This is the South Lot Football Guys podcast. We are back here for another season. It's the week one episode. Fired up, ready to go here. I can't believe it's time already. Summer flew by. We're ready to rock. What do you guys say? You ready?
We got football tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm dialed in. Dialed in. Absolutely dialed in.
You know, we made some money last year. We'll do it again.
Yeah, we got it. Week one, it's like Christmas, you know? Been waiting all year for this, so let's get it done. I'm so excited.
Let's get into it. Yeah. Pretty good slate of games. I think the opener is very exciting. We've got a little bit of news on that front as we've got some injuries, some holdouts, so we'll get into all that. Anything you guys want to get off your chest here before we just jump right into it?
It takes my come as they go.
This is it. You always back. I was wondering if you were going to see who you get.
Yes, for the news.
Yeah, we do got have news. Some news. Robbie, you wanna take it?
Oh, sure. Well, season doesn't even need to start when you have big injury news. Man, not even in week one. Big injury news is, I'm sure everybody's heard, Travis Kelce. What was hyperextended knee turns out to be a bone bruise, and it doesn't seem like he's likely to play in the opener tomorrow night, but that typical injury, from what I've been seeing, is like 2 to 3 weeks max. It just sounds like it's painful. Yeah. So
the only thing I'll say is that Giannis had that exact injury and played like 2 days later in the finals. Not that that's anywhere remote, but Travis Kelce is dumb enough to play on like a questionable knee.
That is true.
The line shift is kind of got me thinking he's not going to play, though, because that this line has moved a full 3 points in like a day and a half.
Yeah, I guess if the knee is structurally sound, then if it's a pain issue, I would expect him to play through it. But when they say that there's a bunch of swelling going on, that has me a little concerned. So I think it just makes way too much sense for him to, and the Chiefs, to at least sit out week one. Then you've got, what, the 10 days rest off of the Thursday night game to get ready for week two. So I don't know, seems like a no-brainer to me. Yeah. But they're also going to be without Chris Jones, who's in a bit of a holdout, unless some sort of contract miracle happens here.
Yeah. Hyperextended ego.
Yeah. I mean, he's
good.
He's good. He's probably worth the check. So that's interesting. But with that, I mean, we'll get right into the line. As Robbie alluded to, this line now sits at 4.5 with the Chiefs being favored. The game in Arrowhead, and the Lions, you know, coming in. They've made a lot of good acquisitions over the offseason. Got a lot of hype behind them. A lot of people are picking them to win the NFC North this year. Adam, I'll start off with you. What are you thinking for this game? You know, do you see kind of the tide shifting here? Do you think the Lions can pull off the upset?
I'm gonna take the Chiefs here. To be honest, I don't have a good feel for this game. Usually I'm hammering the first game as far as, you know, gambling, but I'll probably stay off any action in this game. Just because, you know, I could see it going either way. Lions, I think they're gonna take advantage of Chris Jones being out and really try to run the ball with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. But at the same time, you know, their secondary was very questionable last year, and I don't think they did enough to improve that end of the defense, where I think even with Kelce out, I think the Chiefs could capitalize. Sounds like young Joka, Kadarius Toney's going to be playing, so they'll have the full receiving core going. I'm going to pick the Chiefs to cover here, and but I don't feel great about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of with you. I mean, obviously, yeah, Travis Kelce out. Big story right there. I mean, Noah Gray, he's been fine in action. He's seen, we've seen him before. So I think he could fill in pretty solid. I mean, it's Pat Mahomes after all, you know. He'll be able to get it to his playmakers and get the job done. You know, I'm with you. I kind of want to stay off this. I think the Lions are going to keep it within 4.5. maybe a field goal, but honestly, if I were to make any plays, it would be on the over. I'm not saying I am, but, you know, the Lions, they always seem to come out, like, blazing on week one and always hitting these overs. And honestly, I don't really see a whole lot in either of these defenses where 52, it doesn't seem too high to me. So if I were to make a play Thursday night, kind of just to get some action, I'd do the over here.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of specials out there right now being offered by the books. So my suggestion would be take advantage of what's out there. For example, you can find early win bonuses. I got on Lions money line, which is early win. If they're up 7 at any point, pays out plus 200. So that's good value. If you can find stuff like that out there, I recommend jumping on that.
They can hit in 5 minutes and they can lose by 30.
Right, right. Yep. Otherwise, though, with the Lions being down, you know, this line being down to 4.5, I'm going to go Chiefs, but I'm unsure, you know, about it. I don't feel great about it either way. I would venture to say that the Lions should be able to keep this up, but I was able to get in on it a little bit earlier when the Lions were at 6.5. So felt a lot better above a key number there at 6.5. Wouldn't necessarily recommend it, though. A little lower. So I'm going to stay with the Chiefs here, but not feeling great about it. All right. Game number two, guys. We've got the 49ers taking on the Steelers. This game is in Pittsburgh, where the Steelers are 2-point home underdogs. Over-under in this one set at 41.5. Robbie, I'll turn it over to you to start this one off.
Yeah, we got some more big news just today. Nick Bosa, you know, he started to hold out for the season, but, you know, he ended up getting a major contract. He got paid, and that's definitely good for the 49ers. You know, he's a key part of that defense. He has been for years, so, you know, that's pretty big. You know, the Steelers, they've got their own talent on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, I don't think we've heard too much about Brock Purdy. It's been kind of quiet on that front, but I assume he's going to be going for them on Sunday. So, you know, to me, in Pittsburgh, you know, I just like this 49ers defense to show up and enough firepower on that offense for the Niners. They've got so many playmakers all across the board, which I don't really see the same in the Steelers that – you know, I think Niners are going to be able to pull off the win here, and you know, 2-point spread. I'll take them with -2 there, but I don't feel great about this one, to be honest. You know, Steelers made some moves in the offseason. They upped their offensive line, so you know, they could be a whole lot better than what we saw last year, which was still like a pretty much a 500 team.
Yeah, I mean, out goes Cameron Sutton, but in comes Joey Porter Jr. You know, Cameron Sutton was pretty solid now on the Lions. I'm with you. I was actually thinking about leaning Steelers. I think a lot of people are leaning Steelers, but as soon as I saw the Bosa news, now I'm kind of on the Niners. It's been pretty quiet on the Brock Purdy front out of training camp. You know, all indications are that, you know, he's full go, and there's not really any limitations, and he's looked you know, decent in camp. So, I mean, looked good enough for them to trade Lance So he can't be doing that bad. But yeah, I'm gonna back the Niners here -2. I just think given how good that team has been recently and that defense's ability to dominate a game, I think they should be able to cover the number. But Adam, what are you thinking?
I love the Steelers here. Actually, this line, I was able to get Steelers +4 earlier this summer. Just cross conference, home spot for them. I think their defense matches up well against the 49ers. They're a little bit better against the run than they are the pass, although they did add some young pieces to that secondary. But I think where they're going to have the advantage is on the offense. Just they looked, I know preseason doesn't mean a whole lot, but I think they got a touchdown on all 7 of their drives this preseason. Kenny Pickett towards the end of the year was really looking good. They ended the year at 6-2 And this is a different team with T.J. Watt healthy, and he's healthy to start off the year. So, they got a tough schedule. I think they're going to be looking to, win a home game here, make sure that they keep up with their division. That's going to be the toughest in the league. So I just like the Steelers getting value here on money line. They're going to be a confidence pick for me.
Yeah, just to add to that, T.J. Watt on the field, the record the Steelers with him on the field as opposed to off is just crazy. He's such a huge difference for that defense.
All right, guys. Next game up, we've got an NFC South divisional battle. It's the Carolina Panthers heading down to the Georgia Dome to play the Falcons. No Chick-fil-A available for this one, but Falcons are 3.5-point home favorites here with the over-under set at 39.5. Guys, in this one, a lot of talk out of training camp with the Panthers right now and their inability to protect the quarterback. It's looked pretty rough in the preseason so far. So I'm going to lean the Falcons here. The play I have in this game, admittedly, is earlier in the summer I got this line over under at under 43. So I guess I read that one. Yeah, sharp bet there. But I just think the Falcons have a little bit more talent on both ends of the ball. Excited to see what Bijan Robinson's going to do. Is he even listed as the starter on the depth chart yet? No.
It's my boy Tyler Allgeier.
Got
a 100-1 to lead the NFC in rushing.
I saw a blurb the other day that says he's the starter.
He is.
Bijan.
Oh, no. Their depth chart, according to Arthur Smith, has both of them as starters.
Gotcha.
Co-starters. Okay.
I guess they're going to use him in a kind of Christian McCaffrey type role when he was a rookie with the Panthers, where he was in the slot a lot, in the backfield, two back set.
That positionless football. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan couldn't convert a third down for him in a Super Bowl, but maybe he can revolutionize their offense from afar. I'm going to lean Falcons here with the -3.5 just being at home. And I'm kind of watching this game, looking to see, how's Desmond Ridder going to look? Are we going to see this jump from Kyle Pitts that we've been expecting for a while now? Drake London involved. I think there's a lot of things that could go right for the Falcons this year. A lot of projection, though, so I want to see some of that come to fruition before I lay the lumber on them and start betting them hard. So leaning Falcons, but no play for me on this one.
Yeah, same here. I really like the Falcons season long, but this interdivision matchup week one, the line at 3.5, if it was at 3, I might make this a confidence pick, but not taking the bait on this one. And Panthers defense is really good against the run. They were last year, and that's kind of matches up well with this Falcons team. I think both matchups between these two last year were pretty close. So I'm going to lean the Falcons 3.5, but I'm not going to bet it, and I could definitely see the other side, especially with the unknown. A little bit of an advantage with the unknown with Bryce Young.
Yeah, the Falcons, they liked what they were doing. It seemed like they were getting on the right track last year. So Ridder, got to see if he could take that next step this year. So I'm actually kind of leaning Panthers because I thought their defense was kind of being real sneaky up and coming end of last year. Being a divisional game, 3.5 points, that could be pretty big. So I'm going to side with them, but I do think I like the Falcons season long. I'll side with the Panthers on this. Don't feel great about it.
This one I'll be watching to see how these two teams play because they both could be wild cards in a bad division.
Yeah, absolutely right. I don't think anybody in that division is going to run away with it. So both of these teams should be, having a lot to play for here well into the season. So we'll keep an eye on it. All right, guys, next game up, we've got the Baltimore Ravens hosting the Houston Texans. Ravens are 10-point favorites at home here with the over-under set at 44. Things to note in this one, obviously Texans under a new regime of D'Amico Ryan, so we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But, you know, had a lot of success and was one of the top up-and-coming coordinators, you know, out of that Niners system. So, you know, I think he's going to be a good coach. I hope it works out for him, but obviously not a great track record there with the Texans. I like the Ravens here to cover the number. You know, if 9.5 is at -135, I'd probably recommend that over the 10. But even still, the 10, I would, you know, expect the Ravens to win this game by 2 touchdowns. You could get some weird backdoor cover stuff going on, though. But I just think too much talent on the offensive side of the ball for the Ravens. I'm really excited to see this offense in full flight. I think, you know, they finally got Lamar the weapons and the speed on the outside to really run wild with this. So I'm really looking forward to see what they've got. And then this Ravens defense just absolutely loaded with playmakers all over the place. So I think it's just a large disparity in talent in this one. That's why the line's so big. But I don't think the Ravens will have any problem covering the 10. It's a confidence play for me.
I'm going to be with you. I also like the Ravens. I'm not as confident just because, man, 10 points, that's a big number for week one. You know, week one, a lot of crazy stuff happens that you don't really expect. So, you know, I'm kind of wary about a backdoor cover by the Texans. You know, they've got, it seems like they could be a pretty much just brand new team and maybe put something together to at least make it close at the end. So, but I fully expect the Ravens to win this game. I don't think they should have any issue with it. They're better both sides of the ball. But yeah, that double digit cover it's just a little too scary for me, so I'm not going to be on it. But I completely understand betting Ravens -10 here.
Yeah, I'm all in on the Ravens. You know, going back 7 years, they're 6-1 in opening games, and their point differential is over, I think, 112. In those games, so that they come out strong. I think it has a lot to do with how they handle the preseason, but this is a good matchup here. I'm not super concerned about the unknown with CJ Stroud. I kind of think the Texans are going to be a little bit better than people think, but this is just a brutal matchup for a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback to go into Baltimore against that defense. And And also, I think the change in scheme for the Ravens offense is going to help them, at least early in the season, because it's, you know, you don't have any tape on it at this point. So I definitely like the Ravens here. I think they cover easily. It's going to be a confident pick for me.
All right. All on the Ravens in that one. That's the first one we're all agreeing on. Okay, next up, we've got the Browns hosting the Bengals in the AFC North divisional battle. Browns are 2.5-point home underdogs with the over-under set at 47.5. Robbie, why don't you kick this one off for us?
Yeah, we got our first Battle of Ohio starting off real hot here. You know, Burrow, he looks like he's getting back to being healthy to be ready to go week one. But to me, he always kind of struggles at the beginning of the season. And, you know, this Browns team, we've mentioned it on the last pod, they're looking pretty like they got a good roster going, and they could be a very sneaky team. I think they've got a good chance to do it at home. Hell, you know, these divisional games, week one, you got to look towards the dogs here, and the biggest dogs are the Browns right here. I'm taking the money line right here. I think they're going to pull out the win. Hell, Joe Burrow, he's only 1-4 against the Browns in his career and 0-2 in Cleveland. So I'm gonna follow that and take the plus money on the Browns here.
Yeah, I'm going to join you here. I like the money line. I just think it's a good matchup for them. During the Joe Burrow era, really the only team to have the Bengals number has been the Browns, even though, you know, they haven't been that great of a team during that stretch. So not sure if it's a fancy thing or defense, but they have done well against the Bengals. Could be looking at a, you know, not 100% Joe Burrow. I think this is going to be a really good game. Honestly, the best game of the week for, in my opinion. I'm going to be looking at this game, but it'll be close. So just give me the home dogs in our division, like the Browns. They should be able to hopefully get a little bit more out of Deshaun Watson this year than what he showed last year.
Yeah, I think that's the key for me. There's so much to love about the defensive side of the ball for the Browns. Easily, you could make an argument as them having, you know, the most talented defensive unit in football on paper. That defensive line is going to be extremely fun to watch. I'm going to lean Browns here. I like the fact that they're getting a couple points at home. But for me, you know, I got to stay away from this one, at least on the team total side, or at least on the spread. Deshaun was just so rocky last year. I got to see him return to form before I can fully, trust him again. Now we're talking about trusting Deshaun Watson, which seems a little sketch. But the one thing I do like in this game, I'm still stunned. This line is as high as it is, guys. 47.5. I don't know how you feel about this. I think this is going to be a defensive battle. When you factor in, you know, hobbled Burrow, I don't think he's 100% at all. And, we didn't see anything great out of the Browns offense at all last year. We both, Bengals defense lost a lot of pieces, but I don't think this Browns offense is going to be explosive. I think they're still going to be, you know, trying to pound the ball, eat a lot of clock on the offensive side. 47.5 seems way high for me, so I love the under in this one. Confidence play. All right, next up, guys, we've got the Buccaneers heading into Minnesota to take on the Vikings, where the Vikings are 6-point home favorites. Over under in this one set at 45.5. Guys, I'll turn it over to Robbie. Why don't you start us off here?
Yeah, there's a lot of low expectations for the Buccaneers going in this year, and at least to us, higher expectations for the Vikings than we would imagine. I mean, that Vikings defense does not look great. This Buccaneers defense does not look great, to be honest. I don't see enough firepower on the Buccaneers that they'd be able to stay with the Vikings here, but I could see them covering, so I'm going to lean on the Vikings, but I think both these defenses are going to get exposed, and this 45.5 seems too low. I'm loving the over here. I'm going to take that one.
Absolutely. I was thinking about this as my lock for the over. If you're playing DFS, I would stack up this game. I think this is going to go way over. Baker Mayfield, for however many, his flaws, he's not somebody that's going to be cautious, especially, with this being his, fourth team. He's going to sling it, and I think he's got an offense with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, that he'll have success in some games, especially against bad defenses like this Vikings team. So I think this is an absolute shootout. I'm going to take the Bucs to cover, but I feel much better about taking the over here for any play.
I'm going to be on the Vikings here. Just feel like they should be able to take care of business. Not too high on the Tampa Bay roster. Things obviously didn't look great for them last year. But you're right. I mean, Baker's got no quit in him, and he's going to be slinging it. So, I don't hate the over here. I think this is a stay-off game for me. A lot of unknowns. I'm expecting quite the regression from the Vikings in general here. So I think everything about this game, screams uncertainty to me. So I'm going to wait and see on both of these teams, to be honest. But another one I'm watching to see, because there could be, some opportunity to learn a thing or two about a couple teams I expect to struggle. All right, next game up, we've got the Arizona Cardinals heading into our nation's capital to take on the Washington Commanders, or as we call them on this pod, the team. Team are 7-point favorites with the over-under set at 38. Guys, I like the team here. We've talked a little bit about this over the summer. I kind of think Sam Howell can play. I think that they're going to be able to sling the ball around, and we know that that team defense, you know, has a lot of playmakers on it. I'm looking for the team here to win big. The seven is a little bit scary, but, you know, you got Josh Dobbs starting at quarterback for the Cardinals. That Cardinals team is already selling off pieces for scraps. You know, they're shipping guys off left and right here. It's clearly a rebuilding year, I think, an organization in complete transition. If I had to pick one locker room that's probably in the worst shape going into the season, it's probably this one. So give me the team. And, God, that I think the team are going to be able to put up points. The 38 seems a little low. I'm kind of thinking about maybe jumping on that 38. I'll hold off, but I might, especially if that comes down below 38, that key number there, I might jump on the over there. But I'll take the team minus 7.
Yeah, I absolutely love the team minus 7 here. It's going to be a confident pick for me. You already mentioned, I think their pass rush gets home against this, you know, inexperienced O-line, coupled with the quarterback that just, you know, they just picked up 2 weeks ago, recipe for disaster. And then, you know, it's going to be lit there in D.C. First game without, you know, prime citizen Daniel Schneider. it's going to be a different type of atmosphere there in Washington. So I think they come out fast, and they cover this line pretty easily.
Yep, I'm with you guys. Got to go on the side on the team. I'm not confident in this game, but I am confident the team are going to pull out the victory here, because I would not trust Josh Dobbs whatsoever. I mean, that the team's offense with Sam Howell, that's serviceable enough. That Commander's defense, I think, is going to take care of business in the run game for the Cardinals. You know, if you're liking eliminators, I like the team week one. Ooh, get it out of the way. So yet.
We might have a little tease there for the end of the show. So we'll see. But yeah, they might be coming back up here.
But yeah, I mean, I know you're looking at that over under Evan 38. I just don't know the Cardinals are going to put up a whole lot of points.
That's the concern.
That's a big concern.
I had the over originally, but then. Yeah, it's Josh Dobbs. They're going to struggle to get to, like, 10 points, I think.
Yeah. All right, guys. Next up, we've got the Titans taking on the Saints in New Orleans. Saints are 3-point favorites at home here with the over-under set at 41. Adam, why don't you start us off with this one? Because I know, you know, you've kind of had some strong takes on the Texans or in the Titans so far this summer. So I want to get your take on this game.
Yeah, I do like the Titans a lot season long. But in this game, I don't have a good feel. I'm going to take the Titans getting the points, but it's going to be a stay-off game for me. I'm interested to see how the Saints look with Derek Carr at the helm. Their defense last year was actually pretty good, underrated. I think they ended up as a top five defense, and they're bringing back a lot of the pieces. So definitely going to be a tough matchup for the Texans, or for the Titans. I think it's going to be a close game. I kind of expect Saints to pull it out at home, but either way, I'm not going to touch this game. I think it's a lot of variability. Interested to see how the Titans offense looks. I think it could be a little bit better than people think.
Yeah, the whole thing you mentioned about the Saints defense, that's kind of what scared me off from putting anything down on this one. I mean, Titans, they should be able to get it done with the DeAndre Hopkins adding to it. You know, Tannehill's, he's just fine still. Haven't seen any signs of falling off the cliff quite yet for him. So,
well, we got a podcast partner that'll let us know.
Exactly. I'm going to see if... going to be told wrong a little later, but
QB whisper.
QB whisper, Evan.
Yeah, is that a segue?
Sure. Yeah, I'll say the Titans, but I'm not confident.
Okay.
Vrabel just knows how to win.
Yeah, I agree. I'm leaning Titans here. It's for me purely the coaching that has me leaning that way. That said, you know, how badly Tannehill was hurt last year, is kind of remains to be seen for me. It did not look good. You know, mid-season for him last year, he started to look a little washed to me. So I'm not going to play any cash on this game until I kind of see how Tannehill looks live, because I think if Tannehill, you know, is back to 2021 form, this is a playoff team, and they should they've retooled nicely on the offensive side of the ball. They've got some good pieces. I expect Treylon Burks to make a jump. Obviously, they got D-Hop, who I think still has a little bit left in the tank. You know, that defense is going to come to play too, and like I said earlier, you know, the coaching from Vrabel is second to none. So I'll back the Titans here on a lean, but probably won't play it. Definitely want to see how Tannehill looks.
I think I'll say, I think, you know, D-Hop versus Lattimore, me might get shut down. So I'm expecting, you know, big surprise performances from Treylon Burks and Chigozie Okonkwo.
Thank God you tried. I wasn't even going to.
Oh, dude, I love that guy.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to attempt the name.
Chig.
Chigozie Okonkwo.
Chigozie, I like it. Hopefully we're saying his name a whole lot more. All right, guys. We'll keep it in the AFC South here. It's the Jags taking on the Colts. Colts are 5-point underdogs at this point, with the over-under set at 45.5. I love the Jags here. I've been pretty high on the Jags, you know, in season-long plays. I think Peterson's a good coach, and I think this Colts team is in absolute turmoil. You know, we'll see what happens with the quarterback position for the Colts. You know, just kind of remains to be seen. That guy, you know, he's a project, so, you know, could work out, could be explosive, could be a complete bust. So we're going to have to kind of see what happens there. But, you know, this defense lost a lot of pieces, and, you know, the Jags, I just think, are well coached. And, you know, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to make a big step forward here this year. You know, we started to see glimpses of his ability to throw on the run with pace last year. His decision-making took a huge step forward. I expect all of that to continue to grow. You got to remember, too, this is one of the best prospects we had seen come into the league in 20 years. You know, when Trevor Lawrence was coming out of college. So I'm fully believing that he's going to continue to grow as a player and a professional. So I'm back in the Jags here, interested to see Riley Ridley and how he looks after the long layoff. Calvin Ridley after the layoff from the gambling. So we've all been there, Calvin. It's okay. Yeah, Riley Ridley, no longer in the NFL. Yeah, bad Bears pick.
Yeah, so last time the Colts, as of this game time on Sunday, it would have been over a decade since the Colts have won a Week 1 game.
Wow.
Wow.
Back to 2013. I wasn't high on this Colts team going into the year. Even if Anthony Richardson's better than people think, I don't think he's going to come out hot. I don't see this team being good at all. I don't see the direction, like the coaching. I'm in full faith of the Indianapolis Colts this year. And I'm not even that high on the Jags this year, I guess relative, but in this matchup, I'm going to take them all day. They'll win the game. I'm covering. I like them, but I don't see that this is a low-key eliminator pick for me, even on the road.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I'm siding with the Jags as well. I'm not confident in this game. You know, I guess just you guys said a lot of what I've been thinking. I guess the biggest thing to why I'm not is that, yeah, Anthony Richardson, I'm not going to expect him to do this, but if they bring him out and come up with something the way, you know, kind of offense that, you know, like Cam Newton's been been good with in the past. You know, if they do something like that, maybe they'll catch the Jaguars off guard. I mean, divisional games, they could go either. They could have some surprises too, you know, since these teams just know each other. So, you know, maybe the Colts will throw some surprise punches here, but I'm not expecting it, so I'm siding with the Jags. But that five number just seems a little too scary for me.
Oh, don't be scared. Don't be scared.
Super scared.
Don't be scared. All right, guys, next game up, we've got the Rams taking on the Seahawks. Seahawks are 5.5-point favorites right now with the over-under set at 46. Adam, why don't you start us off here?
Yeah, it seems like Cooper Kupp's not going to be a go for this game. I think it was a hamstring injury.
Yeah, re-aggravated.
Yeah, so unless a miracle, he'll be out. I like the Seahawks here. I'm probably going to stay off this game just because it's an interdivision matchup. The entire Rams team is essentially an unknown here. But they do have a good coach. So I'm probably going to stay off this game, but if I had to pick a side, I'd lean the Seahawks, just because of the firepower they have on offense and I guess young talent they have on defense. But, I don't know what to expect from this 2023 Rams team with Stafford and Donald and McVay running it back. Could be a surprise team if all things break right, or they could be the first team drafted next year.
Yep. You know, I've got low expectations for this Rams team, but Seahawks never like to run away with it. It didn't seem like they did last year, at least. You know, and I think their secondary is a little beat up going into this weekend already, so that's a little negative on the Seahawks, but that defense is going to probably still be better than that Rams defense as it is right currently. So I'm going to side with the Seahawks. I'm tempted to put it down on the Seahawks, but I don't think I can. It's too many question marks for me right there. But they're definitely the much better team, and I do like them to win in Seattle against the Rams.
Yeah, I think I'm going to keep an eye on this closer to kickoff. I think if this is Seahawks favored by a number under six and Cooper Kupp is confirmed out, I think I'll hit it, but I'm going to wait and see on that.
They're talking about potentially putting Cooper Kupp on IR today.
Has he been like officially ruled out?
I think so.
I not officially, but it's pretty.
It seems like it's pretty much. Yeah.
Rolled out.
Yeah. I do like anything under six here. As long as he's not playing, because I just think the Rams offense will struggle to get the ball moving a little bit. But you're right. You know, a lot of weapons for the Seahawks. I want to see how their defense looks. You know, they made some changes in the offseason, so we'll see how that looks. But also, you know, Kenneth Walker hit a little bit of the rookie wall last year for a stretch and then kind of came back strong at the end of the year. But really, you know, that team went as he went. So if he's, you know, spent the offseason conditioning and he comes back and he's kind of in that, you know, pro shape now, you know, That really was the driving force behind a lot of their success last year. So I'm looking for Kenneth Walker to have a big year, and it starts week one. So I'll take the Seahawks -5.5. All right, next up, we've got the Eagles taking on the Patriots. Patriots are +4 at home with the over-under set at 45, and I am tossing this one up to Robbie.
Yeah, so kind of just looking at this, you know, Patriots, they're not really an intimidating team this year. You know, that offense is not great. You know, the defense, they're always very good. Usually takes them a little while to get in the season. So, Eagles coming off the Super Bowl, you would think I would, just saying that, I'd be on the Eagles. But what I've been doing over the last couple years and been so successful is fading the Super Bowl losers. And, you know, I actually looked into the stats over the last 20 seasons. Week one, how the Super Bowl losers fared, and man, it's a lot worse than you'd think. First of all, they've only won Super Bowl losers only won 45% of the time to start, and then against the spread, they've only won 4 out of 20 times.
Oh,
Jesus. 2 of those times were after Brady's second and third Super Bowl loss. So, in a sense, it could be 2 out of 18 times they've lost, so or not covered the spread. Those 2 times they've covered this spread, it's only been like by a point and a half each time. So, you know, I'm firmly dug in on the Patriots getting that home field in Foxborough. Belichick getting the offseason to try to look at, man, Belichick, he loves to look at film and try to expose either young quarterbacks or young systems and try to start a trend. So I fully believe he's been going in and trying to make this happen. So are the Patriots going to win? You know, not super confident in that, but 4 points is a lot of points to me for a home Patriots team that is going to be looking to make a statement here. So I love the Patriots, and you know what? This one is going to be my lock.
But it's a lock!
No!
I love it. Yep, I'm going to be on the Pats too. I just think, you know, they're a good matchup for this Eagles team. They got good corners to man up with the Eagles wideouts. Good against the run. The questions with them last year were all on the offensive side, and I think, you know, getting rid of the two-headed dumpster fire of Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, bringing in Bill O'Brien, who is not a successful head coach but a decent coordinator, they're just going to be better. And I agree with you. Them getting 4 points in a home game with a whole year to prepare for this game, essentially, or half year, I'm going to take the Patriots getting the points here. Eagles, even last year, on the road, when they did win, it was not by a lot of points, and they were not good on the road at ATS last year. So I like the Pats here.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Eagles here. You know, this is going to be a battle of two elite units in the trenches: Eagles O line versus the Pats D line. You know, Eagles were moving the ball at will in the running game last year, and we'll see if that is something that they can return to form in. But you know, I just don't see it on the offensive side of the ball for the Pats. It's one thing to say that you know, on the offensive side of the ball, oh, it was coordinator. I just don't see the playmakers. I don't love the quarterback either. I was one that was calling for Bailey Zappe all last year, even after they returned to Mac Jones. Then they cut Bailey Zappe, so you know, maybe Bill knows something I don't, which is possible given his track record. But and the eye test, I sure thought Zappe looked a hell of a lot better than Mac Jones. But that said, yeah, I just don't have the faith in the quarterback. I don't have a faith in the skill positions that they've added. I mean, you're looking at Juju Smith-Schuster as their most explosive option, and it's going to have to be great games out of Juju and Ramondre Stevenson for them to stay in this game and stay within the number for me. And I just don't see it. I think the Eagles should be able to kind of game plan those key players away for them and really kind of make Mac Jones look to others, other less proven stars. So as much as respect I have for this Pats defense, I expect them to be a strong unit this year. I gotta take the Eagles in this one. I just think 4 points is a little too low. I think they should be able to cover.
One more thing I kind of want to add, forgot to mention that I've been keeping watching this line to see if could get more value out of the Patriots, and at least on DraftKings it shows that 91% of the bets have been placed on the Eagles, and yet it still hasn't moved. So that tells me that sharps aren't on the Eagles. Vegas is confident with the Patriots in this spread, so that made me even more confident on the Patriots side of things.
And one thing I'll add is I really like the under here. 45 for me is too high of a number for what I think is going to be a kind of grind them out run heavy game plan for both teams. So
I like that. I'm on that. I am now on that. That's a good call.
Yeah. You know, I'm with you too. You know, it seems like week one unders are a little better just because people kind of want to jump on and hit the overs, but I didn't see a whole lot of unders. I was trying to look for them, but this is a good call out. I like that under too.
All right, guys. Next up, we've got the Las Vegas Raiders taking on the Denver Broncos in Denver. Broncos are 3.5-point favorites at home with the over-under set at 44. Robbie, why don't you start this one off?
Oh, well, you know, I do like the Broncos to win this one, being at home. You know, they've got that Denver advantage early on in the season. Sean Payton, I think, is a good coach, and they've got a good duo of running backs that they could do a little tandem on it. And Raiders, man, I don't think they didn't do a whole lot to that defense, did they? I seem to remember that the defense somehow looked worse from the offseason, but maybe I'm misremembering.
No, you're spot on.
But so I like the Broncos to win this, but to me 3.5 points seems like a lot for a Broncos team that hasn't proved to me anything yet. It looks like Jerry Jeudy's still questionable, but yep, he's looking a little better to try to return even week one. But you know, I just think the Raiders are going to do enough, especially a divisional game. I'll just side with the dog here. I don't feel great about this game altogether, to be honest. I got to see what the Broncos come out with, to see if, you know, are they really that improved with Sean Payton, or is Russ going to still not cook? So this is a game I'm going to look at and not bet on.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Raiders here. I just think 3.5 points, given what that Broncos team showed us last year, they weren't beating the hell out of anybody. Every single game they were in was either close or they were the ones getting smoked. So definitely not comfortable laying any sort of number. I don't care who the new head coach is. You know, the Raiders season long, I don't think this is going to be a very good team. I mean, Josh McDaniels basically just hitched his wagon to Jacoby Myers and Jimmy G to save his life and his job. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, good luck with that. But, yeah, I don't know. I just think 3.5's a lot, and I think I'm just expecting kind of a close divisional battle. It seems like early season in Denver, you see a lot of close games. So wasn't comfortable laying the points.
Yeah, I'm not going to bet this one whatsoever. You know, you mentioned it. One of the best home field advantages is Denver early on in the year. But having said that, you know, I kind of other if that wasn't a factor, I think I would take the Raiders here money line. You know, I just looking at these two coaches. You know, Sean Payton signed for I think 6 years, whereas McDaniels, you know, he's fighting for his job. And I skill wise, I see both these teams as somewhat even. Raiders having a better offense, but the Broncos having a better defense. But I'm gonna expect it to take a year for Sean Payton to really make his mark with this team. I think they have significant flaws on offense and could again be one of the worst teams in the league on that side of the ball. So given the interdivision matchup, I'm gonna take the team getting the points. So give me the Raiders here getting 3.5.
All right. Next up, we've got the Packers heading into Soldier Field to take on the Bears. Bears are now 1-point favorites at home here with the over-under set at 42. You know, guys, I love the Bears in this one. I just think I love what they did in the offseason. I think, you know, bringing in DJ Moore to that wide receiver room and to help field is going to do wonders. I think we're going to see Cole Kmet continue to make great strides on the offensive side of the ball. They addressed some key positions on defense and free agency. I think there's a lot to like about what the Bears did in the offseason. And, you know, this Packers team is, you know, we're going to have to wait and see what happens here with Jordan Love. been some good highlights in the preseason. Some stuff has looked good. So, you know, we'll see if that carries over. But I think for right now, on paper, the Bears, especially at home, looks like they should be able to win this game. And, you know, you're not asking them to cover a big number. And Justin Fields was just explosive last year. So if he can kind of continue that and continue to beat people on the ground the way he did, I just think it's a tall order for the Green Bay defense to stop him. One thing I love in this game is the over 42 was nearly my lock. That, I mean, the Bears defense wasn't anything to write home about last year, and that Bears offense was putting up high 20s on a regular basis as they were playing from behind. So I think 42 here is quite low. I could see this going over easy. So I love the overconfident play.
Yeah, I like the Bears just like you. I think there's some mad disrespect going on. I know we've seen some good things out of Jordan Love in the preseason, but I don't want to side with him being good until we see it in regular season. So, you know, man, kind of also Packers just popped up on the injury report today. Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, did not practice. So that's something to look out for, which is definitely concerning for that Packers offense, because outside of them,
it's concerning for the
they
over.
They have what, Luke Musgrave?
Tight ends.
Yeah, that offense does not have, even if one of them misses, that's going to be tough for that offense, in my opinion. So, love the Bears at home. Not sure why they're only minus one, to be honest. I mean, I know it started off as minus 2.5 or minus 3, I believe. I'm not sure why this line's shifted to the Packers other than Packers versus Bears. I don't know.
I jumped on this over the summer at minus 2, and I expected it to kind of go the other way, and it didn't. So, joke could be on us. It's certainly, we've had egg on our face from the Bears before, but, I'm all in on the Bears.
I'm going to take the Bears. I'm not going to bet this one. The one concern is that, you know, the Bears' rush defense is flat out horrible last year, and I could see the Packers with the, you know, duo of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon actually having a lot of success running on the Bears.
Completely rebuilt front seven for that Bears defense. Could be bad. That's
could be
right.
Bad.
Yeah, it could be bad.
I mean, honestly, the two rookies in the interior, I don't think they're going to be a good defensive front this year, even with some of those new pieces. So I'm kind of expecting the Packers to have success on the ground. But ultimately, I think the firepower, especially with some of those wide receivers for the Packers being banged up at worst. I think the Bears end up winning this game, but I'm not as confident as you guys.
All right. Next up, we've got the Dolphins taking on the Chargers in L.A. Chargers are 3-point favorites here at home. Over-under in this one set at 51. Adam, why don't you start us off here?
Yeah. I love the Dolphins here getting points. And they're going to be, Dolphins plus 3 is going to be my lock of the week.
But it's a lock!
No!
We talk about it every year, but Chargers home games are not really home games for them. I'm expecting the crowd to be a majority Dolphins fans. The Tua crowd is a rambunctious crew. So they're going to be out there supporting their guy. And honestly, for me, the addition of Vic Fangio to be the defensive coordinator for this Dolphins team, I think puts them, in my view, at the top of the AFC East. The barista, I think they're a good duo for coaching on both sides of the ball, and this team is very talented on both sides of the ball. No one has a better wide receiver duo. If Tua can stay healthy, that's an if, they're going to be such a dangerous team, and right now he is healthy. And I think their secondary matches up against this Chargers team. I think if the Chargers were to win this game or cover, they would really need to lean on the run, which is something they have struggled to do. They were 32nd in rushing yards last year. So unless they have a complete scheme change, I'm going to fade them in this matchup. And I think the Dolphins get a couple picks and win this one outright.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the Dolphins here. This is another line I'm kind of surprised has moved the other way. Getting this at 3, I think, is a godsend. I hit it earlier in the summer at 2.5. So grab that key number. I like the over here as well. I'm expecting points on the board. We saw it all last season. When Tua, Waddle, and Hill played together, the explosive plays just came at ease for them. And I expect that to continue. And the Chargers, we know the Chargers can move the ball. They've got a lot of weapons on the offensive end there. No real home field advantage for them, though. I just think, like you said, Adam, too talented of a unit, too much alike for the Dolphins on both sides of the ball. It's just a well-built team all around. And I think the Chargers, when you factor in, some of the coaching struggles, their inability to put games away, and we'll see. I mean, Eckler's getting older, so team that struggled to run the ball last year. We'll see if that continues, but could see some regression out of him as well. I'm gonna take the Dolphins here, and I'm confident in it as well.
Oh, you guys are gonna try to get me confident in Dolphins, don't you? I'm considering it, but I do like the Dolphins plus 3. Fine, I'll join you guys.
Ooh.
Twist my leg. The Dolphins are. I do. I'm with you guys. They're looking good both sides of the ball. I mean, Chargers, they get Derwin James back, who they're desperately missing at the end of last season. So that's definitely a plus for them. But I haven't seen enough of Justin Herbert for the Chargers. I'm not sure if he's really a quarterback they need or are paying to lead this team. So until I see it, I've been burned too many times by the Chargers last year, thinking they're in good game situations and just can't cover anything. And I think this is a better game situation for the Dolphins. So I'm with you. I'll make it a confidence play.
Yeah, the last two times we've seen these teams, they're both playing in wild card weekend. Chargers blew a 28-point lead, where the Dolphins almost beat a Bills team with a backup quarterback. I know that was last year, but Chargers, these are the games the Chargers have lost, over the last 3 years under the Staley regime. So, yeah, love the Dolphins.
Yeah, Robbie, I mean, to piggyback off your point, of Herbert, it seems like everybody's quick to point the finger everywhere but him when it comes to the Chargers. And I agree. There was lots of blame to go around, especially for that wild card loss last year. But make one play on third down in the second half last year, and they win that game. And he didn't do it. So we'll see. Until the Chargers kind of get an attitude change, there's no edge to that team for me. So I don't know. I have a hard time backing them to beat a good team and to cover a number in the process. So not for me. I like the Dolphins.
Yeah. Herbert has no business being the top paid quarterback in the league.
Yeah, that's a timing issue, but yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it's a projection issue.
Yeah.
Also, rent is higher there, so I guess it makes sense.
All right, next up, we've got Sunday Night Football. Cowboys taking on the Giants. Giants are at home in this one with the over-under set at 46.5. Giants are 3.5-point home underdogs in this one. And, guys, I love the Giants here. There's just – I don't understand why there's so many people doubting this team after the season they put together last year. Very interesting what happened. in the offseason. I don't really understand it. That team was well disciplined all last year. One of the least penalized teams all year. Played a good brand of football. Danny Dimes, you know, went from a turnover machine to a guy that was more than a game manager. That made explosive plays both on the ground and in the air. And that defense for the Giants, you know, stood on its head many times last year and proved a lot of people wrong as well. So not a lot of negative turnover on that team either. They're bringing back, you know, very similar team. So I just don't understand it. I think it's a little bit of disrespect here for them to be 3.5-point dogs to a Cowboys team. You know, that last we saw of Dak, it started to look ugly. And, you know, you guys joke about the quarterback whisper thing a lot. But Dak's starting to look like he might be, you know, near the tail end of his career, too. You know, we kind of forget that he's been at this for a good 8-9 years now, too. So, yeah, I'm on the Giants here. It's my lock of the week. I love +3.5.
But it's a lock!
No!
Oh, I'm all aboard. This is a disrespectful line. You know, both these teams won a playoff game last year. But in my opinion, one team got better and one team got worse. Giants here to be getting 3.5 at home. Just straight disrespect for what they did last year. Disrespect to Daniel Jones. Disrespect to Brian Daboll. I was telling you guys before the podcast, they have the better coach. They have the better quarterback, and they're 3.5-point dogs at home. Doesn't make sense to me. I think the Giants' tackles are going to do an okay job, as much as anybody, at stopping this Giants or Cowboys pass rush. And I just don't think that Dak and that offense under Mike McCarthy now are going to have enough game plan to create explosive plays. And I see the Giants winning this one with ease. You know, possible alt line scenario here.
I actually don't hate that, really. I might have to join you come Sunday night. But I don't want to beat the dead horse too much. I'm 100% in the Giants too, money line. I don't see how they can't win. I was looking up earlier. I was a little slow to hit the button for the lock, Evan, just because I was looking up. Is Dak really? Yeah, he is going into his 8th season right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Just time just goes by just like that. But yeah, all in on the Giants here. Just mad disrespect with this line. Giants are a team, both offense and defense, I feel like, are going up. And Cowboys, you know, offense seems like it's going down a little bit. Defense might be the same.
Dan Quinn's a good coach. He should just be the head coach.
He should be. Mike McCarthy is not a good coach, but this Giants team, they're gonna make it happen. Sunday night football, yeah. Give me the dog, 3.5-point dog on Sunday night football. I love it. Great lock.
We got the weird back-to-back MetLife games.
Yeah, the back-to-back MetLife. Good segue there, Adam. We've got the Buffalo Bills heading into Jersey to take on the Jets. We've seen plenty of the Jets because of Hard Knocks this year. You guys are probably as sick of hearing about them as I am. But this should be, you know, an exciting game. Let me pull up the line here. Sorry, my phone turned off on me.
Okay. 2.5. Jets are getting 2.5 points at home. The over-under line is 46.5.
Thank you for the assist there, Adam. And why don't you take us all the way with your pick?
Yeah, I'm going to take this one off the confidence. I'm going to take the Bills getting or laying at 3.5 points. I think getting them under field goals is good value. I just think that they're the better team. Last year, the opener was Bills versus Rams. Bills came out and absolutely obliterated the Rams. No, those are, you know, Rams ended up being a pretty awful team last year. But I think people discredit the Bills for a lot of injuries they had. Even Josh Allen playing through his elbow injury last year really affected him. I just think in this matchup, the Bills showed what team actually plays in the state of New York and gets the job done in MetLife in New Jersey where the Jets play. I just think I'm not buying the Jets hype. And even if they are a decent team this year, I don't see it getting off to a glowing start just with the complete turnover. And, you know, they're having their wide receiving core being, you know, 2018 Packers.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you in the sense that I started off with the Bills a couple weeks ago. You know, I was looking at these lines. I loved the Bills -2.5 a couple weeks ago, but definitely my opinions changed, and honestly, I'm just, you know, considering even cashing out on that bet, to be honest. I'm actually on the side of the Jets now. Couple of big things that kind of swayed me the other way. One is Von Miller. Mm-hmm. He's on the pup to start the season, and that defense was awful without him last year. So that defense is going to maybe have a rough time going against Aaron Rodgers, who is also historically 6-1 as a home dog on opening week. So, you know, as much as I don't like Rodgers, you know, I think I've got to side with him in this one. I'm not a big fan of this Jets team going forward, but, you know, this just seems like a better spot for the Jets right here than it is for the Bills right now. So I'll side with the Jets. What I do like is the over. Kind of going off that Von Miller thing, I think that Jets are going to be able to move the ball, and you know Josh Allen, he's going to be able to move the ball against this Jets defense, which I feel like got a little worse over the offseason. They lost a few guys, didn't make a whole lot of improvements to them, so 46.5 to me feels so low. I guess it being at MetLife, now that you mention it, back-to-back days, I'm not sure if that helps or hurts the over-under. You know, maybe players aren't going to get a whole lot of footing and that might hurt the over there. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just a sucker for the over on this one, but, I think both offenses can make it happen.
Wow. Robbie, are you Oklahoma City? 'Cause you stole my thunder. I completely agree. Yeah. I was leaning Bills all summer and then, you know, the closer got more, it looked like Von Miller wasn't going to be ready. Now, like you said, he's on the pup. I just think 2.5, it's tough. I'm not going to bet the game personally. I just don't have the confidence in the Bills' defense to be as stout of a unit without him. They're going to have to generate some pass rush from elsewhere, and that's just something they struggled to do last year. So we'll see if they can put it together, but you know, should be a good game, should be a fun game, but I'm not going to be able to bet the Bills early on. I'll take the Packers getting a couple points at home, or I'm sorry, take the Jets getting a couple points at home, you know, against the Bills here. All right, so that'll do it, guys. Let's do a quick recap of the locks. So I came in at Giants +3.5. Robbie, you had the Pats +4 against the Eagles. And Adam, you had Dolphins +3 against the Chargers. Let's see. So we've got, if you're new here and you're kind of wondering what we do, every week we do a podcast parlay of three consensus picks that we all agree on. And so we've got quite a few options here to select from. Looks like we're all confident on Dolphins. We're all confident on Giants. And we're all confident on the Eagles, Pats, under. Any other direction you guys want to go with this? What are you thinking?
We got a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
I mean, those sound pretty good. I mean, what do you guys think about Giants' money line?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, it up a little bit.
Get a little juice to start the year off.
Yeah, why not?
Do we also do Dolphins money line?
Oh my!
Oh, let's do it.
Wow. Okay. I'm in.
I like it.
What's the third going to be?
We
got a lot of consensus. What about the under in the Patriots-Eagles game?
Yeah, yeah. We're all confident on that.
I really love that under.
What is that, 45 it's under?
45.
Yeah.
Let's see what that paid out. So those three would be plus 980. Should I lock it in?
Yes, I like the lock it.
Let's do it.
That would be a big win to start the year. We're swinging for the fences early. Okay, so to recap, Dolphins money line, Giants money line, and then Eagles Pats under 45. That is plus 980. So good value there to start the year.
Locked in.
Locked in. Okay. Now we're going to talk about the eliminator here. Adam signed us up for a season-long eliminator at a third-party website with a long prize that we're going to
win.
Yeah, we are going to win. What you say? Guaranteed 100K to the winner.
Guaranteed 100K, regardless of the amount of entries. But obviously, that if multiple people tie, that 100K gets split between the parties involved. But
all right, so. We just got to pick one eliminator here for the week right now. Nothing crazy with it. We had talked about team kind of a little bit earlier. Ravens seems like a lock. We're all in the Seahawks. We're all in the Jags.
My thought is, you know, I don't know if there's another opportunity we can use the team on where the Ravens have a couple, you know, they have a couple more favorable matchups later on in the year. I just think catching the team here with a home team against a quarterback that's just been there for 2 weeks. I'm sure everyone's going to be on the team, but sometimes taking the chalk isn't the worst idea.
Yeah, I would think most people are probably going to be on the Ravens. But you know, later on in the year, Ravens are playing AFC South, so you should be able to get them against the Colts, which could be good. So, I've got no issue taking the team here. I mean, there's a lot of, if there, but, I think the one thing that's for certain is just how much turmoil that Cardinals team is in right now. So, I'm all for fading them.
Other than those two, the Vikings are the highest other favorite. Not, there's no way I'm touching the Vikings.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
either.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I don't know any other situation down the road I would use the team, so let's take that gamble right now.
Yep. All right.
All right, we're locking it in. All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in to another season of the South Lot Football Guys. We'll be back here every week to get you ready for each slate of games. Until next week, hope everybody's got some good luck with the gambling, and we'll see you soon.